Hello, this is Louis J. Buckley, conductor of the Metropolitan Wind Symphony, welcoming you to this podcast preview of our fall concert coming up on Sunday afternoon, November 13th, 2011, at 2 o'clock. The concert, titled At Kitty O'Shea's, will take place not unfortunately in Kitty O'Shea's, more about that later, but in an excellent concert venue nonetheless, Carey Hall in Lexington, Massachusetts, at 1605 Massachusetts Avenue. Our program will be characterized by major wind works, a little whimsy, and as always, some real musical beauty. Whimsy comes right at the beginning of the concert. Now, at this point in our podcast, you're probably thinking, okay, Azusa March. However, the really sharp-eared listeners out there, especially any past or current members of our military bands, just said, hey, what's up? Well, what's up is Azusa on the Hoof, a piece I arranged some years ago. Given that John Philip Sousa wrote 136 marches, he might be forgiven if some of them tend to resemble each other. It therefore occurred to me long ago that one could probably mix and match a number of segments from different Sousa marches into a single piece, thereby creating a perfectly acceptable Sousa march, though not one he ever actually wrote. Having had the thought, of course, the experiment naturally followed. Nearly all marches are based on the same form, a combination of 16 or 32 bar strains, as they are called, arranged in a particular order. Using as an example one of Sousa's most familiar marches, The Thunderer, you can easily hear these strains. They are the introduction, the first strain, the second strain, the trio, which is usually twice as long as the preceding strains, an interesting strain that breaks up the trio and is therefore called the breakup strain, or because of its often combative nature, the dogfight, a return to the trio, usually still soft, another statement of the breakup strain, and a final return to the trio, this time in all its forte glory. So come to the concert and see what happens when you toss the parts of Sousa's Semper Fidelis and four of his horse marches up in the air and play what comes back down as Sousa on the Hoof. The concert's first major work comes next, in the form of Michael Dougherty's Red Cape Tango, This remarkable piece is actually the last movement of Dougherty's Metropolis Symphony, whose theme was, of course, the DC comic hero, Superman. However, don't picture either the theme music associated with the famous TV series starring George Reeves or John Williams' music from the more recent Superman movies. Instead, imagine a concept, Superman's famous red cape, turned into an intense, energetic tango by a contemporary composer of remarkable talent. Tango, as did Dougherty's Bells for Stokowski, which we brought you 2 years ago, makes extensive use of percussion, including many striking and unusual sounds. We're having to bring in extra people for this one, and you won't want to miss the exciting result. Serge Koussevitzky commissioned Randall Thompson to write a choral work to be sung by the student body of the Berkshire Music Center at Tanglewood for its 1940 opening. Koussevitzky hoped for a joyous work, but Thompson, greatly affected by the recent fall of France in World War II, created instead the reverent and beautiful Alleluia. I first encountered Alleluia as a boy singing in my father's church choir. I later conducted it in my own church choir, and as a career wind conductor, I thought for years that Alleluia would make a wonderful wind piece. In 1992, I finally obtained permission from the Thompson estate, and this arrangement is the result. Although the Metropolitan Wind Symphony, to my gratification, has performed the work often, this will be my first opportunity to perform it with them in their subscription series. I look forward to bringing this beautiful piece to our audience. For many years, the Midwest Clinic, arguably the most important annual band conference in the world, took place at the Hilton and Towers Hotel in Chicago. As important as were the exhibits, concerts, and presentations by giants in the field of wind music, equally important was the opportunity to mingle with peers, colleagues, and friends after the concerts. And by far the most common venue for such informal meetings and gatherings was Kitty O'Shea's, a wonderful Irish pub in the hotel. Noted wind composer Johann de May, you'll remember his wonderful symphony, The Lord of the Rings, from last fall, was a frequent attendee at the Midwest Clinic. He had a great affection for Kitty O'Shea's, where he says, "New friendships are formed, old ties are strengthened, plans are created, most of which will not be carried out, the laughter is contagious, and many toasts are made." At the persistent instigation of his longtime friend Max McGee, DeMay wrote this joyful tribute at Kitty O'Shea's based on five Irish songs. You'll hear everything from the heartbreaking beauty of an Irish ballad to the foot-stomping, hand-clapping rhythms characterized by river dance. A devilishly difficult work, the MWS's talented players are playing it with verve and great accomplishment. You'll love it, I guarantee. Unfortunately, because it's a new work that hasn't been recorded yet, we can't bring you any of it on this podcast. You'll just have to come to the concert. To appease those skeptics who think a concert band can't do justice to Irish music, we're bringing in some help. An accordion, a guitar, a banjo, a penny whistle. You're going to love this high-energy burst of Irish fun. Sir Charles McCarris gathering of Sir Arthur Sullivan's music in Pineapple Paul is one of my longtime favorite pieces. In typical band performances, this music is often treated as a filler piece of little musical consequence. In my view, it's nothing of the sort. Excellent music of the highest order, it abounds in often overlooked artistic opportunity, with subtle tempo and mood changes that sparkle with life. A Movement for Rosa pays tribute to Rosa Parks, America's great heroine of civil rights. Composer Mark Camphouse unerringly captures the backdrop of racial tension against which Rosa Parks' drama was played out. And perhaps even more importantly, he also captures, quote, "the quiet strength and serenity of a strong, purposeful woman who changed her world." A beautiful, moving work, many will find A Movement for Rosa the high point of the concert. We will close our concert with La Mezquita de Cordoba. Talented and three-time Emmy-winning television and film score composer Julie Giraud's musical depiction of one of Europe's most important historical religious sites, Spain's famous Mosque of Cordoba. It's noted as a worshiping place of Muslims, Christians, and Jews, with all three faiths, remarkably, sharing the mosque during some times in history. Giraud brings all of her dramatic talents to bear on this colorful, exciting, historical theme, delivering a piece worthy of closing even a concert as chock-full of major works as this one is. We're having a wonderful time rehearsing it, and you'll walk out of the hall with its melodies resonating in your ears. As usual, I'll give a pre-concert talk at 1:30, giving you the inside scoop on the music and suggesting some things to listen for in the different pieces. Again, this concert will be on Sunday afternoon, November 13th at 2 o'clock in Lexington, Massachusetts' beautiful Carey Hall at 1605 Massachusetts Avenue. Tickets are $18 for adults, $14 for seniors and students over age 18, and $6 for young people from 5 to 18. We invite you to learn more about the Metropolitan Wind Symphony by visiting our website at www.mws-boston.org and by visiting us on YouTube, where you can do a search for our music. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you'll join us for the concert.